Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Chuck Dornquist, part one. He'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Chuck Dornquist, who is the Vocation Director of the Diocese of St. Petersburg, and he's also the Chaplain of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this is a part one of two shows that we're going to do with Father, and he's going to speak to us about the life of being a chaplain with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There's a lot of things you don't think about just watching the game that's going on behind the scenes. He's going to give us some insight into that. We're now going to a reflection with Father Chuck.
So excellence when it comes to the NFL is certainly the consequence and the fruit of a lot of hard decisions. These players, these coaches, these athletes, they're constantly making decisions, not just for themselves, not just for their own sakes, but also for the sake of the team and for the organization. What these guys choose to eat, how they choose to spend their free time, the amount of free time they have, even their families and the way they spend time with their families, their commitments, everything. Everything is determined. Everything is defined by the sake of a trophy, of the Lombardi Trophy. These men, these women, they started moving in a direction towards excellence. And sometimes in the midst of that, they can lose track, potentially, of what caused them to start going in that direction. Like I mentioned, we get so accustomed to GPS, constantly affirming the direction we're going. Back before GPS, we relied on someone who would tell us, oh yeah, take a left down by that tree down the road, or go a little bit further down this way. And as you went, you had to become more and more dependent on the person who had initially given you that direction. I really think this carries over well into the spiritual life and into discernment. To be a saint, to pursue holiness, to be everything that we can in our lives, it means choosing excellence, which means we say no to a lot of things, not necessarily because they're bad, at times they are, but because we're saying yes. We're saying yes to this life of holiness, this life of excellence, and there are times in that where we're not feeling like the Lord's close. And so let us continue to pursue him even when we can't tell that he's leading us.
Well, Father Chuck, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you very much, brother.
And you're a very interesting guest. You're a vocation director in the Diocese of St. Petersburg. But you're also the chaplain for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes, sir.
And we were talking about kind of before the show how you got roped into that. But it's interesting because it was like one of your first assignments as a priest. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I was ordained May 16th of 2015. And just around that same time, the Buccaneers were looking for a new full-time chaplain. The guy who was doing it before had to retire from the role. And so they came knocking on the parish door, asked me and the new pastor if we'd be interested. They said that to do it, you have to be able to celebrate a full Sunday Mass in less than 25 minutes. And so I decided to give it a swing, wow. And thankfully have been with them since. It's been an awesome gift and privilege. I walk into that building and it's a bit of starstruck when you're seeing all these professional athletes and players that you've seen on TV.
And so what is like the daily life of a chaplain there? And football is it's a business, it's a big organization. Yeah. And how many people actually work there? It's in the hundreds, if not thousands. But what is kind of a daily routine like as a chaplain there?
Yeah, so I think there can be an interesting split within an NFL organization. So you have the business side of the league, and you have the business side of the NFL. Then you have the players and coaches.
Right.
And so my role really primarily for the Buccaneers is players and coaches.
Okay.
And my job's to be there to the extent that the organization, the team, the coach, especially the head coach and the GM, that they're willing to have a Catholic priest chaplain be present. So the night before games, I'm there for Mass. So I'll get there to the Buccaneers training facility sometime in the evening, celebrate Mass for the guys, available for any other sacraments they might need. And then I'll join for mealtime, which I love. They call it snack time.
Snack time.
Their plates are about the size of this table.
I imagine.
I love snack time with the Bucks. And then after that, I'll spend another hour and a half just available for interactions, conversations, whatever might come up. Day of the game, I'll be at the stadium a good hour and a half prior to kickoff. I like to say a rosary as I walk around the field, praying for both teams, praying for their safety, praying that the Buccaneers excel in giving themselves to the game. And then at kickoff, I go all around the stadium. So I'm in my blacks and interact with players or fans and people up in the stadiums. I'll go get some free food in the press box. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or not. But it's been really an awesome privilege. Besides the weekend experience, it's really about availability. Okay. So the players and coaches who attend Mass, they get my cell phone number. And when they need marriage prep or they have family difficulties or there's a tragedy, I'm ideally the one they reach out to. These guys would be going to Mass at a parish typically if they were not working on Sundays. And so I become that connection to their faith while they're in the league.
I think that's a good point of having the presence and availability, because I know a lot of times just problems outside of football are often brought into football.
Yes.
And you can see that in a lot of, fortunately, in some of the lives of the players or coaches. And but we always, you know, just our human nature, we constantly need that guidance and direction. And I think there that's a special calling, because you know you're in an environment, but you're also surrounded by people with money and wealth, and you know what they choose to do with that, that's you know their business. But ultimately that there can be, you know, for the greater good or for something devastating, it channels its way into football a lot of times.
Absolutely. Well, these guys, like, they're under such high pressure.
You're right.
So, like, so take normal human being life. And normal human being life is already difficult. And then you've got 22-year-olds to maybe 35. I mean, we had Tom Brady for a bit, and so that was stretching our age demographic. But you have incredibly young guys who've suddenly been deposited a whole bunch of money, and then they are criticized and watched and picked apart by hundreds of thousands potentially. Like, so you got 60,000 watching them at a game, and then you've got however many people watching the game afterwards, and then all the talking heads commentating on them. That's a lot of pressure.
It is,
and then they have their own family lives. And they have their moms and dads, and they're trying to figure out their marriages, and they've got kids that they're trying to figure out how to be a good dad for. Coaches who dedicate 10 to 12 hours
That's
at least daily. And so ultimately, like, my job is to be this reminder of Christ's presence with them and to them through it, to be a source of strength and support as they try to manage it. But I have to say, I've been so edified by the faithfulness, by the spirituality, the religiosity of a lot of our players.
I think too, just whenever I look at football in general, as a viewer, you know, one thing I know, it's like, in terms of like job insecurity, that's probably, it ranks up high.
It's insane.
Because as a coach, as a player, I mean, just, it's kind of a cutthroat thing. You can just be traded, you can be released, you can just like that, just of a bad play, or you just didn't meet that certain expectation. So again, with that, and maybe probably anxiety, that stress, you know, and the age and wear that comes with the body, you know, a lot of those guys day and day are, you know, there's football takes a huge toll on the body.
I think
realize that more now, but just that whole aspect of having to just take care of yourself, you know, because it can mentally, it can mess you up. And so just to have that presence and awareness, you know, to be with the guys and their, you know, and their struggles, you're going to see a lot of highs, a lot of joys.
Please God.
You probably saw that with the Super Bowl. So what was that like whenever the Buccaneers won?
Well, actually, it was excellent. It was also terrible because it was COVID season.
Right.
And so I was doing Mass via Zoom virtually. The only thing I got to participate in person was the Super Bowl boat parade, and that was extraordinary. So I was on the same boat with our offensive line, which if there's a boat that you want to be with in a boat parade, it's the O-line. And it was phenomenal. So, like, one, to be a Catholic priest. Like, so I'm not an NFL guy. I'm not a player. I'm a Catholic priest, and I'm in my blacks, and I'm on this boat going down the Hillsborough River through Tampa. And everybody's like cheering and hollering and yelling. And there are a few times like there are people who like spotted me. And so they would send photos of having seen me on the boat. And so to be like a presence of Christ, mm-hmm. to be someone who's explicitly a minister of Jesus Christ in the world, and to be witnessed with this organization was a huge gift. I also have to say, like, the amount of sacrifice that our team endured through that season, I think that's partially what caused us to be so successful. The amount of love in the sense of a willingness to sacrifice oneself or the other that took place in that locker room that season was extraordinary. And the example of some great players we had for that season, of their willingness to sacrifice of themselves and inconvenience themselves so that the team would succeed was extraordinary.
Because I kind of saw that year for the Buccaneers as like a rebuilding year, but they but they really turned that around and made it just the program.
Yeah.
So, but we got to go to a break. But whenever we come back, let's get more into the chaplaincy.
Okay.
Father Chuck, you said something in the last segment that caught my attention, and that was the religiosity of the players. Hmm. And I kind of wanted to kind of look more into that, of just maybe that sense of faith that guys have, or maybe their witness that they've shown to you, maybe of their prayer life, or just maybe their example. How has that impacted you?
Yeah, so it really wasn't something I anticipated seeing coming into the chaplaincy role. Had a similar like understanding of athletes that like the world would present, like rich, famous, nice cars, and certainly they do have some nice cars. But really, as I've gotten to know some players, so I can't speak of all players or nor of individuals, but it was in relationship to the amount of pressure which they can experience in the league. To be able to have something beyond their own abilities, beyond their own accomplishments, that can support them and strengthen them to continue to give themselves, not just on the field, but also back at home with their families, that I've encountered many more who are devoutly praying men, who have Bible studies, who spend time regularly in the scriptures, whose faith life is important to
it
how
matters.
They live.
Yeah.
And it's been really neat. I think more and more we're seeing that when you see interviews, post-sports interviews, you see more and more athletes becoming very public with their expression of faith and what Jesus is for them in their life. But yeah, I've been really edified by the faithfulness of these people who have like everything that like as a kid I would have dreamed of. Like they're professional athletes, they've got cars, and yet they invest a lot into their relationship with Christ.
Now you're the Catholic priest there, but are there other ministers of other faiths part of the organization?
So there can be, and most NFL organizations have a Protestant chaplain who's there full time and is able to dedicate a lot more time to being with the team.
Yeah.
They're able to, like it's their full time quote unquote assignment versus mine, like I'm the director of vocations for our diocese and I've got a cool side job of being the chaplain.
Okay.
Yeah, most organizations have someone involved as a more full time chaplain who's either non-denominational or in that realm.
Yeah. And so there, I guess in the building headquarters, is there like a chapel per se, like a mass chapel, or is it just like a room?
So I used the O-line room.
O-line room.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have the non-denominational service in the, gosh, is it the wide receivers room? And then I'm in the O-line room.
Okay.
The O-line really likes to decorate every year for Christmas and Halloween and stuff. So it can be really interesting decor for mass, but that's where we do it.
Okay, interesting. And do you travel with are you just at the home games, or do you go to the away games as
well? My schedule permits, I do like to go and travel with the team. It permits a lot more just time and spending time when you're in the hotel with the guys and you're at meals and there's less to quote unquote do because their families aren't there. That's really where a lot of good conversation comes from. That ministry of presence bears fruit. Unfortunately, the only game I could travel to last season with the team was to Detroit, which was extraordinary. To the Detroit fan base, they were phenomenal. I can't articulate how extraordinary it was to witness that fan base in support of a team.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate the way the game turned out, but. It was just an amazing experience. And then to be there, it's the last game of any season is tough because it's the goodbye. Like you're never going to have this team together again. You're never going to have these players together again.
Coaches or maybe
none of the coach. Like everything's going to be not everything, but a lot of things
it's
are going to be
up.
Different the next season.
Yeah.
And so you've got this organization of men and women that have invested their lives over the last 5-6 months, every day, hours a day, and then gone, done.
Yeah.
And so to be present in that moment, I've found to be really unique and special. Just to be a presence of like the permanence of Christ, the permanence of their faith in the midst of that turbulence of change.
You also spoke about, you know, eating with the players. And I wanted to know, is there like a common meal maybe set aside once a week where the whole team comes and eats together? That happen?
I've not seen that. I mean, so they have meals for sure in the meal room that they are joining together. And that's like breakfast, lunch, and dinner are available to them. I've not seen them necessarily as a whole team sit down at the same time to have like a joint meal. I can't say that doesn't happen, but I've not experienced
that. Sure there's a billion different schedules and appointments that are going on and to actually coordinate that. But I didn't know if there was like a team building kind of meal just to get to know everybody.
Not really, but even like, so I can say like in game prep, so like when you're the last day before the game, the schedule's set and meals are part of that because they want to make sure that the players are receiving proper nutrition and are prepared.
Yeah.
So not only like is there mealtime, it is checked as in who's there attending meals and what are they consuming? Is it good to prepare them for the game the next day?
And I've always kind of wondered too, like before when you're at that level of play to like just kind of observe a player, do they look nervous or are they just relaxed and chilled or is their mind kind of elsewhere or
it varies according to the player. I can say the night before the game, like I've been amazed at how confident and comfortable the guys are, how much they enjoy each other, especially the players. You can see it, I think, a little bit more movement towards preparedness and the coaches, but the players, they're brothers in many instances, and so they enjoy being with each other. They set a tone amongst each other, and then it's game day that you see a seriousness.
Because I always think, you know, football, it's a game of preparation. Most of your time that you do is just spent preparing for 60 minutes, and I think that, you know, how that translates into our faith, you know. Once a week, at minimum, you go to Mass for like 60 minutes. And how we pray, you know, and how we really prepare ourselves, you know, is reflected in how, you know, we attend Mass and everything.
It's often an example I'll use when I visit, like, faith formation and such, that, you know, the players are surrounded by so much noise on game day that the way in which they know how to act and to behave on the field is because they can listen to the voice of their coach. And so us, like in the world, the way in which we know how to engage in this field before us is a relationship with the coach. But then I also point out, I don't want to say I was amazed at how intelligent the players are, but I'm amazed at how much they study.
Oh, yeah.
Like, these guys are constantly in their playbook, and they're memorizing these things, and they're memorizing the other team's plays. They're looking at the tactics, and they're understanding how they operate. And so for the kids in faith formation class, I ask them, well, what's our playbook? Like, do we have a similar thing that we can study so we can be prepared for the game? And hopefully they'll come out with the scriptures, the Bible, and then to add to that, like the catechism, and that this is what we have as a playbook, and our study of this prepares us to be able to engage with the game, with the world around us.
Absolutely. Well, Father Chuck, we've run out of time, but it's been great having you on Life on the Rock.
Thank you.
Father Mark, I always find the life of a chaplain to be interesting. We've actually interviewed a number of chaplains on Life on the Rock, but just to hear what the daily life of, you know, an NFL organization is like, I think is rather remarkable. And Father Chuck, you know, before the show we were talking, he played a little bit of football himself. Knows something about the sport. But I think just to be kind of seeing more of the inside look of what goes on in the business, the organization, the competitiveness of the athletes, I think it's something to kind of actually reflect on. There's many parallels, I think, to just athletics and the discipline that we can really apply to our spiritual lives.
Yeah, just I was struck by just the temptations, some of the things you don't think about, the fact that they're young. They're most of them in their early 20s. And then you're given a lot of money, right? In some cases, a lot of money. And you have to balance all this, navigate it when the world's kind of at your feet, but then you have all this pressure of being constantly scrutinized, the anxiety of losing your position, your job, or moved across the country. There's a lot of pressures in there.
And there's, I think, what he said, I think, was key, but just having that availability and presence, you know, just to speak with the guys, talk to them, to pray with them, how important that is, especially whenever we need that guidance. And how often that's what people are looking for. It's just maybe someone to speak to and to be, you know, heard.
I thought it was powerful, too, what he talked about. Basically, the friendship bonds within the team that the players have. And I've seen that with that, you know, good athletes that we've interviewed that are doing it, you know, professionally. There is a sense of camaraderie and stuff. They connect with one another. I guess you're under that stress. You do kind of bond with other people. But and, you know, some of the personalities, too, you know, are energetic. They're, you know, to get at that level, you got to be all in, right? And so that kind of energy is just kind of exciting to be around at times.
And it's interesting because one of the, he was highlighting a player who I wouldn't have thought of this, but he was talking about his study habits, that he always saw him studying the game. And I think that's very important that, you know, just to even take that upon ourselves to really study, you know, our faith, to know the Word of God, to know the Catechism, to know what the Church is teaching. So,
that is a parallel to our life too, because it seems like professional sports now, you know, kids are starting younger to train. I mean, the skill level, the training, the athletic ability is at such a high level that I would think, I haven't seen the data, but I think the window of playing in the NFL is probably shrinking before you get bumped for something else. But I think those talents that drive that discipline does translate to the faith that, you know, I'm going to study for the faith. I'm going to read the playbook for the faith, right? And they know they're good at putting, setting aside that time, being disciplined about it, and to grow in the faith. Now, I think the trick sometimes is, well, we got to live by faith. It's just not our works, right? So we have to surrender and trust God and receive. And maybe that's harder for the athlete. But I think especially in the early part of a person's faith journey, that discipline helps a lot.
Well, Father, can you lead us out with a blessing?
Sure. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. Particularly took every at the winning touchdown. Point toss for my soul. Here it goes. It'll always be the head that'll win the Joe. But I feel Satan would attack with a stunning blitz. That's when you're coming for the save. Michael Vick, I pray to serve you as you deserve with all of me. All
all I am, taking me to Super Bowl promised land. And I've got a you that I'm at your command. Even if these haters don't care to understand. You're the spouse of the spirit, the daughter of the father, the mother of the son, you do the highest honor. Mother of the king, that makes the queen of heaven. Perpetual virgin, immaculate conception. Assumed into heaven at the moment of your death. The Bible says that all generations call you blessed. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The one that caused your death for 3 days in the tomb. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. So we can see the pearly gates when we lay to rest. Blessed Mother Mary, let me proclaim my love for you, just like your only son, Jesus Christ, wants me to. Maria, Maria, Virgo Prudentissima, ora pro nobis, Mater Clementissima, en nomine Patri, et Filii, Spiritu, Sancti, tota, toca et Maria. Long before your breath, yeah, he was on the guest list. Eve couldn't touch the father.